let's get started. If you can find a seat, that'd be great.
Hey guys, it's great to see you.
Good morning. Thanks for making it on Memorial Weekend. I know you guys all have plans, but you know, thanks for being here. It's great to see you guys. Let's start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us right now. And your response is, yes, of course, I'm here. So Lord, allow us to anchor into your presence today, this morning, as we receive from you. Take away all our distractions, our anxieties, and allow us to rest in your peace today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first reading for today is found in John 16, verses 23 through 33. Is on page 526 if you want to read along. So, just as context for this reading, Jesus is with his apostles in the upper room, and they're about to eat Lord's Supper. So just kind of giving a context. And this is one of the conversations that he's having with them before he gives them the meal. Verse 23. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the reading of our gospel for today. And so the thing I want to highlight from that reading, because despite the fact that Jesus is like, I'm speaking plainly now, it's still a little kind of confusing back and forth. But the thing I want for us right now to connect to is you can ask anything in my name, and the Father will give it to you. And so right now, I want us to ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, because we can ask for that. He will give it to us. So if you can turn to page D on our little booklets and confess with me in the name of Jesus our sins and be assured that God hears you and is granting this request and saying, I forgive you. So on page D, let's pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left done. As an ordained minister, I get to announce to you guys. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. In Jesus' name. Now we'll turn to our second reading for the day, Revelation 21, verse 9 through 14, and then we'll jump to verses 20 and 27. Very back of the Bible. starting in verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels. And on the gates the names of the 12 tribes, the sons of Israel, were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 22. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. This ends the reading of God's word. So, we have these two readings. In Revelation, we have this image of a beautiful new city. This should sound a little familiar to you guys if you're sitting in here right now. And then we have this conversation with Jesus, with his 12 apostles, saying to them, "Hey, I'm with you right now. I'm not going to be with you for a while. I'm going back to the Father." And he says, "I'm saying these things so you can have peace." But then he says two following things that are kind of like, what? He says, "In this world, you will have tribulation. But fear not, for I've overcome the world." So we have this new city and this in between time of Jesus being with the Father and saying, in between this new city and me dying and raising again, there'll be tribulation. There's going to be a waiting period. Have you ever had to do a project? Someone asks you to do a project with them or for them, and you just know, this is going to take way more time and energy than this person can even imagine. I think of Doug helped us put in the disposal next door. And, of course, every time you just think, oh, this will be, you know, maybe a couple hours, maybe an hour, whatever. But, of course, he gets here. He's, like, ready. And we don't have the tools. We don't have the putty. He gets under there. The piping's not ready for a disposal. It's just going to take way more than he could possibly imagine. I spent the night with the Niederheisers yesterday, and I remembered the first time whatever, we're family. Yes. I remember the first time I met his dad was in the parking lot of Lowe's, because his dad was helping Thomas do their entire floors of the house. And of course, that project's going to take way more time than any of them could have possibly imagined. Get there, oh, we need a saw. Hey, Matt, can we borrow your saw? Oh, yeah. It's technically my dad's saw. They're doing the project. The saw falls off a table, shatters. Oh no, we have to buy a saw now. And so I meet them in Lowe's as they're buying the new saw. projects just take way more time than we could imagine. Wimberly's starting an apartment. Water is dripping from their bathroom ceiling, from the apartment above them. Landlord, the maintenance guy's like, oh no, everything's fine, I fixed it, it's all good. But it's real quick, and you know, if it took real, he barely looked at it. There's no way he fixed it. So they finally went in Friday to go look at it, and what do they realize? Oh no, this is a way bigger project than we could have possibly imagined. The entire like piping for the toilet above is rotted out. Oh no, we gotta fix this, and it's gonna take all day, and potentially more days. Whenever we encounter these projects, there's this innate frustration that we feel, and we just want to go, I just want it to be done. Why can't we just snap our fingers and it can just be made right? I think we've been definitely conditioned to think that things should have just a quick fix. Should be able to just do things correctly, really fast. There should just be a button or pill, a number, or something that we can just get. We have had a full decade of Marvel films building up to a snap that restores everything. So the question... Oh, yeah, sorry. Spoilers. Come on. If you didn't know that already, where have you been? So... Sorry, completely derailed now. So the question that we end up with is, if God is all-powerful and all-loving, why can't he just snap his fingers and make everything right? Why does there have to be a wait time between Jesus and this beautiful new city? Why can't we just have that new city now? I mean, that's our... website, newcitynow.com. Why can't it be now? It is. And if you've ever engaged one of these projects, you recognize to do anything right, you have to take your time. I think we forget that we're more broken than we can imagine. That the damage done to creation is way more than we can possibly imagine. It doesn't deserve to be dismissed. It needs to be attended to in tedious detail, in a way that a loving creator, only he can do. And he's willing to take the time to do it right. So we're talking about restoring all of creation. Kind of a big topic that is difficult for us to connect to. So I'm going to reduce it down to something a little more familiar. A household, a home. Home of three people. One of the projects that Adam and I get asked to do that is always going to take more time and energy than the people asking can imagine is the blessing of a home. And so one of the things that we do as just people of God who are recognizing, oh, hey, God cares about creation. He doesn't just care about people. He cares about the earth and the things that he's given us, is we've learned, oh, a really ancient Christian tradition is pastors going into their parishioners' homes and praying through the house and blessing the house and identifying it as, hey, this is a house where God's people live. This is a gift of God that he's given to us. And we want to say, hey, God's name is on this house. This is a house of peace and love and joy. And we want to put that mark over our house. And we've done that for quite a few of you guys in here. And it's been a really great experience. We were counting the other day and I realized, oh man, we've done like 30 places. That's a lot. And it's gotten to the point where when other pastors in our network come across homes that aren't as nice and orderly as you guys. Everyone in this room who we've done, it's like, hey, this is great. And it's just a nice thing that we get to do. But every now and then, there are people who are calling because they're desperate. Because things are really wrong in the house. And they call their pastor, and their pastor kind of hears their story and is like, ooh, I need to use a lifeline. I need to see if anyone else has run into something like this. And so eventually they make their way to Adam and I, just because we become experts by default of experience, not because we actually know what we're doing. And so we get called, and it's always these families who, and fortunately they're outside of this church membership, so I can loosely talk about them. I won't name any names, but I can loosely talk about these houses. And it's, things are going wrong in the house. That there's just a general sense of unease, and people are having, like, family members are just having constant nightmares. Things don't seem right. They don't feel good in their own house. They hear strange sounds at night. Things move. You know, weird things. And so that's when we usually get called, and we're like, okay, whatever, let's go see. And when we go, you know, there's like the classic, we walk up to the door, and oh, there's a snake guarding the door. That's weird. Just reared up, hissing at us. Okay, that's weird. Open the door. Oh, it's like the beckoning cat. The little Japanese golden cat is just sitting at the door, waving in spirits, because that's what it's supposed to do if you're connected to that stuff. Or there's a little shrine to Buddha on the mantle over the fireplace, and you're just like, okay, cool. And then the family's hovering at the entryway, always. Anyone who's there, they're always right at the entryway, all of them, gathered up. They're just kind of hovering because their expectation is they're going to have to convince us that they're crazy, or they're not crazy. And they're just super nervous and like, okay, this is weird. And they're like really just normal people that are like, we don't know what this is and don't want to believe in this stuff, but, you know, things are weird and, oh, God, don't think we're crazy. And so they're like, just start to talk, and we talk with them, and after a while we're just reassuring, like, hey, yeah, don't worry, guys. We believe you. We'll pray through, and don't worry. And so as they talk with us, their expectations shift once they realize, oh, they don't think we're crazy. It shifts to, oh, so you can just pray through this and everything will be A-okay, right? Wrong. Because as they're talking to us and trying to convince us that their house is possessed, they end up revealing deeper demons at work in the home. And by that I mean there's miscommunication between the family members. Deep animosity towards one another. Harmful, destructive, lifelong habits that they just casually reveal in the conversation with us and talk like it's nothing. And we realize, oh man, the brokenness in this home is way deeper and way more concerning than the New Age crystals scattered across the carpet, the painting of Vishnu on the wall, or the giant Native American dream catcher above the bed. Like, sure, maybe that stuff's not helping. But that's easy. Like, you just get rid of that stuff. That's not the hard part. The hard part is the deep brokenness in that family, in three people, between three people. To fix that, it's not going to be fixed in a 3-hour prayer session with Matt and Adam. That takes a lifelong relationship, rehabilitation with the creator of the universe. Adam and I could pray through that place. we've prayed through these houses, and we could pretty confidently be like, yeah, if there is anything in here, in the name of Jesus, we can cast it out. We can ask anything in Jesus' name, we can cast it out. Very confidently. Be like, whatever, okay, get out. We've done that. Whatever. It's not a big deal. But it won't matter, because the minute we leave, they're letting whatever we cast out right back in. Doesn't matter. The reason God doesn't just snap his fingers and create the new city is because we wouldn't be ready to live there yet. God's not just interested in restoring the earth, restoring all creation. He's also interested in training us on how to actually live there. He's like, hey, being in this new city, it requires being able to love me, being able to receive good things from me, and then loving one another. And you're just not there yet. That's going to take some time, but that's okay, because I have the time to take. I'm willing to work with you and turn you into something beautiful. The reason our church's name is New City is because the way God is doing this, the way he is training us, is through church. The name New City not only connects us and reminds us, hey, we can look forward to the hope of this beautiful community that we're one day going to be a part of, but also connects us to the reality, oh man, God's creating that in this room right now. He's doing that right now. The church is God's immigration school for the future citizens of New City. That's what God's doing. This is the training ground. This is where we get to practice receiving love from him. We actually get to show up to a place and receive the words of the Father. We're fed by the meal of the Son. We're cleansed by the washing of the Holy Spirit. We actually receive things from him here. This is where we learn to receive, because we can't even receive good things. We don't even know how to do that. But we get to practice that here. And then once we receive the things from God, now we can practice giving what we receive from God and giving it to one another. Now we're in a community and we have to learn how to actually like one another, live with one another, figure things out. And as I look out at you guys, I know God's been doing that. I look out at this amazing community and I realize, man, God has been. It's been slow. It's been, at least for us, 9 years in the making. But God is slowly teaching us how to receive from him and then love one another. I mean, I look back at Easter and seeing the stuff that was up here, the thoughtfulness that it took of, hey, Byron gave up ice cream. So Eliel got his number and figured out what favorite ice cream he had, wanted, brought it. I'm like, that's amazing. That is a miracle. The change that God is doing is slow. It takes time. But I think every now and then we need to be reminded that, oh yeah, God is doing something new here. It's not going to be immediate. The demand of perfection is not on you guys. It's an invitation to practice. To practice this new community, this new life that he's calling us into. So when he establishes the new city, it won't feel strange or foreign to us. It'll feel like coming home. And we'll be ready for it then. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for taking on the task that none of us want to take on. which is spending the time and the effort to fix the problem, not just cover it up, not just whitewash, but strip it down to its foundation and say, okay, I want to fix this. And I'm going to take my time to do it right. So, Lord, I ask that you be patient with us, because we get impatient. I ask that you anchor us to the reality that you are fixing things, that you are changing things, that you are in it for the long run. And give us glimpses of where you've already restored community and relationships. Give us those glimpses, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, one of the ways we get to practice being a new community, one of the things that God is retraining us is our relationship to money. He's saying, hey, I'm giving you guys everything. I will provide for you. And so he is, through offering, is teaching us how to be generous people, the people we always wanted to be. So right now, we're going to take time to engage that. And during this time, if you feel the need to offer up a request to God in Jesus' name, you can have confidence that it will be heard. You can write it down. We have prayer cards in the back. And you can post them on our magnet board back there. And Adam and I will pray over them during the week. Lord, we thank you for providing for us. I ask that you prepare our hearts now to receive even more from you. God, it's like, hey, this new city, it's built on the foundation of the body and blood of my son. I have sacrificed my own son to create this new city, to turn you guys into something beautiful. He says, I invite you to my table to receive my forgiveness, to be restored to me, to be under my protection. So the Lord sets up this meal for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. It says, this is the meal of our new city, my son. All right. Well, receive the blessing of God. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that his way may be known on earth, that his saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord.